The Divinely Random Bounce of the Prolate Spheroid. That's the title of the first chapter of Newton's Football, subtitled The Science Behind America's Game, a new book by Alan St. John and Anissa Ramirez. That first chapter celebrates the way the shape of the football injects unpredictability and whimsy into a game coaches try to render predictable and lots of people regard with no whimsy at all. Alan St. John joins me from NPR in New York. Welcome to Only a Game.
It's great to be here.
And we're also joined by Anissa Ramirez, who's at Yale in New Haven. Welcome.
Hello. It's great to be here.
Alan, first of all, how important is the shape of the football?
The shape of the football is really important. Basically, the word you're looking for is not only whimsy, which is a lovely word, but randomness. Mm. The football is shaped the way it is because it's actually the shape of a pig's bladder, because that's what the very first footballs were made out of. And the fact is, over the years, it didn't get rounder as some other balls, like soccer balls, for example. It actually got more prolate because, one, it was easier to hold on to carry. And later on, it actually was easier to throw. But the fact is, though, that what happens with that ball is you drop it, it's really unpredictable. It's not clear exactly where the ball is going to bounce. It may bounce straight back to you. It may squirt in any direction. And that really adds a sort of important element to the game.
Among the coaches upon whom you focus in this book is Vince Lombardi, and you contend that although many people have celebrated Lombardi as a genius, what he wanted to be was, and I'm quoting now, the anti-genius. What do you mean by that?
Lombardi wanted to win football games. He wanted to do this in as simple and straightforward way as possible. And he wanted to basically take all of this element of randomness out of the game, all the sense of unpredictability out of the game. Running plays, you know, the sweep that he loved, relatively low risk, relatively low reward, but it worked perfectly. You could go 3 yards a pop, and that was that was enough.
Anissa, in the chapter titled How is the Quarterback Like Your Laptop?, you maintain that Bill Walsh, credited with developing the highly successful West Coast offense when he was coaching the San Francisco 49ers, was trying to get his quarterbacks to think like a computer. How so?
Before, the thinking was find an open man. And by the way, you have very huge guys coming after you. But if you already...
By the way, I love that.
But if you have a progression of three options and you know what order they're going to happen in, it makes life easier. Mm. Is the number option one available? Yes or no? If it's no, you move on to option two and further. This kind of thinking is called binary thinking, and it's something that computers do all the time. So we made the parallel between how you're able to think in a systematic and simple way, which is also what a computer does.
Isaac Newton is one of the scientists mentioned in your book, and he, of course, is in the title. But you also mention Charles Darwin, and you say if Charles Darwin were around today, he would make sure to be present at every meeting of the NFL's Rules Committee. Why is that?
Well, Charles Darwin is a name that we associate with evolution. Football is a system that has evolved, and so rule changes give rise to a different way of playing, and Charles Darwin would have appreciated that because he knew that things would come up that probably weren't being used before and things would go away, sort of just how evolution works.
Alan, you discovered that whereas in 1980 there were three NFL players who weighed as much as 300 pounds, as of 2012 there were 461 such players. Talk a little bit about how those numbers have changed the physics of pro football.
Yeah, I mean, that is an awful lot of Big Macs, you know. And, you know, as Anissa explained, when the environment changes, then basically the players who are going to succeed in that environment change too. Basically, offensive linemen all of a sudden could actually use their hands. Mm-hmm. And by using their hands, they therefore didn't need to move their feet quite as much as they did before.
If I'm reading the chapter titled Desperation Plus Inspiration Equals 16,632 Receivers correctly, and I love the title of that chapter, you are both suggesting an alternative to the simple physics of force in football. Have I got that right?
Yeah, I would agree. That chapter is about innovation. Let's say that you have a team of scrawny players. What are you going to do in order to have an advantage? Mm-hmm. There was a small, you know, little loophole that a couple of coaches saw that if you arrange them in a certain way that you have many eligible players, and what you do is you just keep the other team guessing.
Any number of players could receive the ball from the center, and any number of players could receive a pass from whoever got the ball from the center, right?
That's right. So that's why you had over 16,000 options. And so If you have very big players, they don't know where the ball's going. They don't know who the quarterback is. They don't know who's the receiver. And so that's how you have scrawny kids beat very big players.
And this is the so-called A11 offense, which I was not familiar with before reading your book. And now I want to know why it hasn't become more apparent at all levels.
Well, in a strange way, it actually has. I mean, the fact is, this was based on a very small loophole in high school football rules. So as far as that's concerned, you know, it's not like, you know, the Seattle Seahawks can go out and say, hey, we're going to run the A11. But on the other hand, you can actually see plays in the NFL. There's a wonderful play that you can find on YouTube where you've got Cam Newton throwing the ball to Legadou Nane, who's his wide receiver. And they're basically playing. It really looks like something you'd play on your, you know, front lawn, you know, during a pickup game after Thanksgiving dinner or something like that. It was a really, you know, the tossing the ball back and forth. And the fact is, that play was kind of an outlier. But I think increasingly that's what coaches are looking to do. They're looking to basically expand the opportunities, expand the palette that they have to work with. That's one of the reasons why you may actually see players getting smaller and somewhat more versatile.
What other kinds of out-of-the-box thinking should we be applying to football these days?
What we learned is that there isn't much difference in terms of skill, how high a guy can jump, but what can differentiate different quarterbacks is how they think. And so I think there'll be better tests to kind of estimate how they can size up a situation, which is, you know, a sort of athlete intelligence. I think that will be the next key.
Anissa Ramirez and Alan St. John are the authors of Newton's Football, subtitled The Science Behind America's Game. Anissa and Alan, thanks very much for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.
Nike.
The athletic department at the University of Oregon has created a promotion for this weekend's basketball game against USC. Fans will encounter Appreciation Night, spelled K-N-I-G-H-T. The promotion has nothing to do with Batman and everything to do with University of Oregon benefactor Phil Knight, the multi-billionaire co-founder of Nike. The university will be celebrating Phil Knight's 76th birthday by giving away Phil Knight bobblehead dolls. The university unveiled the doll this week. It features dark glasses, very large ears, a University of Oregon t-shirt and baseball cap, and a smile as big as China, or Vietnam, or Indonesia.
All we wear is Nike. I sleep with Nike.